I think that's for me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to Messages from the Light. I am Lisa J. Smith, your host this evening, and I'm so excited to be here with you all tonight. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful spring evening. At least it's beautiful spring evening in Detroit. I am a spiritual intuitive who receives messages from guides, angels, loved ones, and pets for the purposes of healing. I also work with energy and am a Reiki master teacher, writer, speaker, and now a radio show talk or a radio host. And I am very excited to be hosting my show this evening. Messages from the Light is a show created to bring awareness, inspiration, and messages from the spirit world to each one of you. Each show will feature a different guest speaker, and each week we'll cover a different topic. For the first half of the show, we're going to have a conversation with my special guest, Tim Link, this evening. And the second half of the show, I'll be trying to take your phone calls as long as all of our technology works right this week. Last week it did, to be able to give you messages live from your loved ones on the other side, angels, spirit guides, and pets, or to call in and speak with Tim and ask him any questions that you might have. Often the messages you receive are meant for healing and to give you wisdom, insight, and a knowing that you do not walk alone on your path. Well, tonight's show is sponsored by SureSpeak, and SureSpeak is a new way of improving your communication skills using your webcam. Try it free online today at www.surespeak.com. And I have been so excited since booking my guest tonight. His name is Tim Link. He is an animal communicator and a Reiki master who focuses on healing of animals, all kinds of animals. He is also the president of his local humane society in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And I would like to welcome Tim Link to Messages from the Light. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Lisa. How are you this evening?
Oh, I am so great, and I am so excited that you're here with me tonight, and I think that we are going to have great callers and great questions because everybody I have told about you is so excited.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity and definitely want to be able to help all your listeners and their furry friends and companions.
Oh, well, is there anything you'd like to tell all of my listeners and our listeners about what you do that maybe I didn't get in there or anything that they should know about animal communication?
Yeah, you hit the highlights perfectly. Overall animal communication, you know, I open I like to bridge the communication gap between the animal, their pet, and the human companion. Because we're always wondering what's going on with our pet, why are they behaving in a certain way, what are they thinking, what are they doing? How's my pet that's transitioned over, how are they doing? So all these things, I open up a communication path between the animal and the human companion to try to be able to answer these questions. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. If you want to learn a little bit more about me and what I do, in addition to listening to the show tonight, you can visit my website, which is wagging-tails.com. So that's wagging-tales, because it's the tails that the animals tell us, and every animal has a tail.
I love that. What a great, great website name, and they absolutely do have tails. And as I said, I'm so excited that you're here because I get so many questions all the time about people's pets, or I see there's a cat actually that walks around my office, and he sits right here in front of me, a spirit cat, that one of my clients, her son, who was 8 years old, saw, and his name is Fluffy. And I didn't know he was here because he came to this little boy, so I thought it was really great. Now that I know Fluffy is here sitting on my desk, I feel much more comfortable when I walk in to a dark office knowing that he's here. So I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about the first thing I want to ask you, Tim, is tell us what happens when our pets cross over, because so many of us don't understand, and we're so devastated because it's like losing a family member.
Well, it definitely is like losing a family member. Our pets become an integral part of our family, and they're meant to teach us things when they're part of our family, in addition to giving us love, getting us through transitions, whatever may be going on in our household. That's what they're there for, and they become a valuable part of our family. So, you know, I get asked a lot about things like, Do animals go to heaven? What happens when they transition over? And with every animal is made up, you know, they're made up of the same energy that we are. Just like humans, we're all energy. And when we transition over, our energy goes into the collective, and we go into what is called a rejuvenation process or a regeneration process in order to be able to get our energy back up to the level that it needs to be. And so it's the same thing with animals. They go through a regeneration process. They get their energy sorted, get it to where it needs to be to determine what's their next mission or their next path. And that path could be that they stay in that same energy realm to blend with others, to teach other animals, to have their energy available to their human companions when they transition over. And some will come back in perhaps another form for a new mission that they have here in another body. But the whole process is just like you and I. We all transition, we all are made up of energy, and we all go through a regeneration type process.
Now, a lot of people ask me, can humans be pets, and can pets be humans? Can we change form?
Right. Well, if you're a believer, like I am, that mm-hmm. everything is made of the same energy, we're all brought down here on inside of us with the combined energy, and whether you call it a God energy or whatever you may want to call it, if we're all the same energy source and we reincarnate into another body after we have gone through this regeneration process, then there's no reason we can't pick and choose what the body or the form is for our new mission when we come back down here.
I know my mom is a huge animal lover, and she's listening. Hi, Mom. But she's a dog walker, a pet walker, and she always says, I know I was a dog in another life. And, you know, it's kind of a joke, but really, I really would not be surprised if she were at one time
right.
a dog in another life. So it's amazing how they all just come to her.
Right. Well, some people would say it's better to be a dog in their life than to be a dog in this life or treat it like a dog. So,
yeah.
But in any case, it is true, though. I mean, we can come back in the forms. And a lot of times, for instance, I had a situation where we had a cat. The cat was here for a particular mission, and the cat unfortunately got out of the house and was ran over, and their life was cut short before their mission could be completed. And that same cat went to what we call the same regeneration process. Their energy went through this regeneration process, and they have actually come back in the form of another cat to try to fulfill that same mission. So they're in a cat form once again, not the same type of cat. They were a male before, and now they're a female, and they were a black with white boots type of cat, and now it's a calico cat. But they're back here to try to fulfill the mission they didn't complete to begin with.
Wow.
And so the individual is out there looking for that cat to try to fulfill the mission that the cat was brought into to help this gentleman out.
And what was that mission?
Well, in this case, it was a healing mission.
Okay.
So everybody, whether you're in human form or whether you're an animal, we're all brought down on this earth for a particular mission. And for animals, it stays very clear. They know what their mission and purpose is, whether it's to be a teacher, a healer, a lover, a mender of hearts, whatever it may be. Us humans have the same purposes and roles that we are brought here for. Unfortunately, we get caught up in this thing called life,
right.
And we lose our direction a lot of times.
Well, we have our ego, and
we have our ego.
And I don't know. I mean, do pets have an ego? I don't think so. Although my dog Zen, I don't know what he's thinking half the time, but that's a whole other thing. But you know, that's something that we have, and that's an interesting question. Do animals have egos?
Animals are very clear on what their purpose is, and they try to fulfill. They do everything possible to fulfill that mission, and they'll complete
they
that
lucky?
Mission unless their life's cut short. Exactly. So when we talk about this thing that humans call egos, they don't have an ego because it's very clear on what they're trying to accomplish. The only time that they'll show any behavior that is different from what their purpose is here on Earth is when we have tried to interfere with that purpose. Mm-hmm. So we have changed that role, that role that animal is, say, to be a healer, and we bought that dog or brought home from the shelter to be a guardian.
Right.
You know, we brought to be the big bad guardian when actually that animal's purpose is to be a healer. So one of the things I try to do with wagging tails is to open that line of communication with the animal to try to get a feeling for what is their purpose, what are they trying to accomplish, and what is the human companion doing that is interrupting what that purpose is. So I can relay that back to their human companion in order to be able to get a more concerted effort, get everybody on the same page so the animal can complete their mission and hopefully the human companion have a better relationship with that animal and maybe even wake up to the realization of, I didn't even realize that I needed healing, and now that I think about it, you're right. My life is a mess, and this animal is here to help me out.
That's amazing. I know that my dog showed up for some reason or another, and we'll get to him a little bit later. But, I feel like he's a great healer. And you know, I'm told that he takes on so much of the energy that's going on around me, around my house, around my kids. Do you find that very often with pets, that they take on our energy and are able to transmute it for us? Or do they take it and do they hold it?
Animals are just like human beings when it comes to this energy. Hmm. So you and I, if we're surrounded by people that are frantic or negative, we'll take negative people, and there's people that always complain, life's treating me bad, no matter how good of a mood we're in, no matter how many positive affirmations we've done that morning, that person's going to drag us down.
Right.
And it's going to affect our energy, and it's going to make us sick, and it's going to make us negative. Animals are the same way. When they're around other animals or other people that are negative, interfering with what their purpose is, in such a turmoil, they absorb that. Especially if you've got an animal that's here as a healer, because they're desperately trying to get you to a better place. And if you're constantly pushing that negative energy back down at them, it makes it harder and harder for them to accomplish what they're here for. So yes, if you're frantic and going crazy in your house and you're wondering why Spot is all of a sudden not doing the things that he was trained to do, well, there's probably a good reason for that.
Well, how can we help them transmute that energy and send it for a clearing so that they don't pick up that energy and those vibes? Because so many of us, our pets are a reflection of what's going on within us. And if we're sad, a lot of times they're sad. How do we... I know, we talk a lot in the psychic world about protecting ourselves and not letting negative energy come onto us. Can our pets do the same thing? Can they protect themselves?
Well, they can't protect themselves. They protect themselves just like we do. So whenever we are having a bad day, we'll just call it that. So we're having a bad day, and maybe we're surrounded by people that are negative, or we just woke up in a grumpy mood. The thing for us to do is step back, take a breath, maybe go into meditation, get some quiet time, God time if you want to call it that, and get yourself centered on positive things and what are my purpose and what is my goal for today and each and every day. And if you get yourself centered, then the animal is going to get centered.
Okay,
so the animal has the same opportunity. They'll go, whenever you're having a bad day and they leave the room, well, it's not just because you're picking up the stuffed animal and throwing it across the room.
Right.
Actually, yeah, they're trying to defend themselves. They're trying to get out of your way. They can regroup. You can regroup. And when it's time and you calm down and you're in a better centered place, amazingly enough, the animal now comes back in the room to try to continue what their purpose is.
Very interesting. Well, I just want to let people are tuning in, and I just wanted them to know that if you're just listening to Tim Link and I talk, we're talking about animal communication on Messages from the Light, and we're having a great conversation. And if you'd like to call in, please do so with any questions at 347-327-9597. I'll be taking your calls. You just need to press 1 on your keyboard. And I wanted to get back to Tim. And, I have a call here in the web chat, a message in the web chat here from Jen642 Jen, and she wants to know, do animals vibrate at the same frequency as us?
Very good. Yeah, very good question, and that's a wonderful way to put it. The way that I look at it, the way I try to describe it is, yes, we're all made up of the same basic energy, and they have the same vibrational level. Every human and every animal, a living creature, is working on the same level or at the same vibration level. Now, obviously, if certain humans work at a slightly different level, depend on their personality and depend on how they act, just like animals work on slightly different levels. But and overall, we work on the same exact level and the same energy that that our animals do.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, go on.
No. So I was going to say it's important to realize that, as we were discussing previously, whatever your situation is, whatever energy level you're creating or what you're putting out today is being absorbed by every living creature, every energy around you, and that includes your animals.
Yeah, I mean, if we're all one and we're all coming out, and my guides, and when I write a lot, I get that over and over and over, you are all one. There is no difference between a cockroach and a dog and a person and a tree and a squirrel. I mean, we are all one. We are all part of one energy. So I think everybody and everything, vibrates on different levels. But yet we're still all the same energy. So it's just fascinating. So how do you have a session? Let's start with this. How did you first get into animal communication?
Well, I got into animal communication quite by accident, actually. I had no idea I had this gift. Until I got into this full-time with Wagging Tails, I was in a telecom executive. I spent 20-plus years as a telecom executive working for some of the biggest corporations in America. And I was a big sales guy, and I had all kinds of trophies and plaques on the wall and thought I was doing well.
Right.
But never really had my mission or my purpose. And about four or so years ago, I went to an animal communication workshop, a one-day workshop. And I went there with my wife, Kim, as sort of a birthday present. She wanted to go. I like critters, but had no real thought that I would ever be able to do anything with animal communication stuff.
Right.
And so I went there being the good husband I am, put a plug in for me.
I hear the applause now.
Oh, thank you. Us husbands need all the plugs we can get.
Yes.
But, so I went to this animal communication workshop, and it was a combination of animals there and lots of pictures, and we would have to look at these pictures and determine what's going on with this animal, what's happened. And we had no information. We didn't know if this animal had transitioned, had been lost, was still in body, were they good, bad, ugly. We had nothing to go off of. And so we, as communicators, had to try to tune in to these pictures and determine what the history was and what was going on with this animal. And lo and behold, picture after picture, animal after animal, I hit 100%.
Wow. That's amazing.
I was like, okay, now this is getting weird.
That's the last thing you expected on that day, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness.
You're able to help people find their lost pets.
Yes, I do that, and I've
got
several cases I'm working on now, and it's very
what a
tough situation you have, because you have an animal that's left and you don't really understand why, and you're desperately trying to get them back or get some closure on that.
Or whatever happened to it.
Exactly, and it's challenging. It's very challenging because you have to use a method of not only communicating with the animal, but I also use a dowsing capability where I get a map. I get my pendulum, and I do dowsing to determine and try to narrow down where the animal may be.
Wow,
and
so do you usually start at the animal's house and then go from there and maybe try to follow their path?
Yeah, the two bits of information that I always require is where is their home, what's the physical address of their home, and where were they last seen? If you have a physical address, that's great. If it is a city block, because sometimes they spot Fluffy a few blocks away, and they can give me a crossroad. And that gives me an opportunity to pull up a map of that general area, and we make that area as broad as possible because we want to start off with a very wide scope, and we keep dowsing and dowsing with our pendulum on that map and narrowing it down until we can get it hopefully pinpointed to exactly the house or the area where that animal is at that particular time. Often, I will admit that we may only be able to narrow it down to a city block or two.
Right.
But we give you something more to work off of. And in addition to that, I have quite a bit of a history behind this. I've done quite a few of these and understand lost animals. So I have also some sort of tidbits that I give, some advice that I give to the human companions trying to find their animal. Helpful hints like, posting signs in key locations, contacting your local shelters, contacting local veterinarians, forming relationships with your local restaurants, because obviously if they're out there for a while, they're going to be looking for food, and that's where they're likely to go. So there are some tidbits I have there, too, and so I work with my clients to try to narrow it down as much as possible.
So you work with the human side of it as well as the spiritual side. Now, are you able to talk to the animals? I know in a lot of work that I do, I work with my clients and I work with their higher selves. It's really amazing, and I work with people who are alive or still in this form with their higher selves. Do you do the same thing with animals? Are you able to speak with their higher selves, and are they able to show you through their eyes where they're at?
They give me the whole gambit of sensations. So they're able to show me through their eyes where they're at. So they show me landmarks, or they show me the house that they're at, or the basement they're at. Give me as much description as possible based on what their eyes are seeing. But in addition to that, they'll give me feelings. So if they're in a cold place or a warm place, I'll get that sensation. They'll give me a taste. So if there's a taste in their mouth, or, you know, whatever it may be that they're eating or they picked up or whatever, or if they're sick, they'll give me that taste.
Right.
If they're injured, they'll give me that feeling as well. They'll let me know exactly, either through picture form or through feelings, where they're injured at. And they'll also go as far as if they have been, you know, if they actually have left and have transitioned and they've gone through that regeneration process, they'll let me know that as well. So I can give you, you know, the human companions an idea if Fluffy, unfortunately, had transitioned over.
Now, when you say they transition over, I want to go back to that for 1 second, and they change form. Is there a separate heaven, and I'm using that term loosely, but it's a term that many people are familiar with. Is there a separate place animals go humans, or do we all kind of go to the same place?
You know, the old saying in the old movie, all dogs go to heaven.
Right.
And so if you, you know, the traditional way that we look at heaven is a separate place that humans go to. And so in this case, animals go to that same exact place. And so whether you want to look at it as a physical place being heaven itself, or whether you want to talk about a different energy realm, a different energy level, a higher place, whatever it may be, we all go to that same place. Because we, as you perfectly put it, we're all one. We're all one energy. We're all created with the same energy. And so if you believe in that, then you got to believe that we all go to the same place.
I love that. And again, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Lisa J. Smith on Messages from the Light, and I'm talking with Tim Link, an animal communicator, and we're having a great, interesting conversation about our pets and communicating with them and what happens when they cross over. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-327-9597. You just have to hit 1 on your keypad, and we'll be able to take any questions or comments. I do have another question from Jen, 642 Jen, in the web chat, and she wants to know if you see animal spirits, or do you just have a knowing, like a clear cognizance, or do you actually see them clairvoyantly? I think it's
Another great question. I love Jen. We got to get her
on
the line here.
Yeah, Jen, why don't you call in 347-327-9597. She's having fun in the chat room talking with Eric 2012.
Uh-oh. Get him online. Let's talk about this thing.
Yeah.
We need him online. But it's a great question, Jen. What I'm able to do is I sort of get the whole, as I mentioned, I get the whole gambit of what I see and feel and hear in experience. And so when we talk about do I see them back in form, or when they're going through this transition phase, or what one of my clients called a ghost cat, do I see the ghost cat? And in reality is, yes, I do. You know, I see them. And I think we all do. If you've ever been in a situation where you've lost your favorite pet, maybe they've transitioned or they've been tragically killed or they've left, and you know that they're no longer in their form, and you're sitting there one day, and out of the blue, you see a flash out of the corner of your eye.
Yes, that happens to me all the time.
There you go. There you go. And you're like, and you turn your head real quick, and you look, and you're like, okay, that can't happen. But it happens over and over again. Well, let me tell you.
Or how about if you get a smell of them? Sometimes, like, my dog crossed over, and I could still smell her. She would just walk by, and what is that? Is Brownie here? And I could actually, I knew she was there because I could smell her. And once I even found a chunk of her hair.
Yes, you can smell them. You can hear them. We had a Pomeranian that we raised from a pup. and she lived to be almost 16 years old. And her traditional way of greeting this was when we came home at night, the garage door would open up, she would be there barking. The rest of the time she wouldn't bark, but she heard the garage door, so that would trigger her to bark and say, you know, great, Mommy and Daddy's home, Mommy and Daddy's home, we're ready to go. Wouldn't you know it, after she transitioned, for the next, I believe it was like 3 to 4 years, every time we came home and the garage door came flying up, she was there barking.
Yeah.
So she was no longer with us. And believe me, the first few times, this happened before I became the animal communicator, you know, the wagging tails guy.
Right.
The first few times it happened.
You always didn't hear cats and dogs?
I don't know. I think I was caught up in this thing called human life, you know.
Right, right.
That,
you probably right. always could, but you just didn't know you could, kind of like me and the rest of us, right, until you were ready.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You got to be ready for this and realize this is your purpose.
Well, can anybody do what you do? Can anybody work with animals and hear animals and talk with them, or can they learn how to tune into animals? Or do you think that some people are, it's easier for some people, well, I guess, to tune into the animal energy than others?
Well, I think everybody has the ability to communicate with any being that has energy. So anything that's alive, we have the ability to communicate, whether
right.
it's vocally like us humans do, or whether it's telepathically like animals do, or a combination. Now, obviously, certain people are more attuned to it, and certain people have what I call a gift.
Right.
So it becomes more, easier or greater, or however you want to label it. But one of the things I try to accomplish with Wagging Tails is trying to bridge that communication gap so you, as the human companion to the animal, can better understand what's going on with that animal and how to get to the point where you can pick up on signs, you can pick up on some communication, you can do more than just talking. You can actually sit there with your animal and get a feel for what's going on. So in a roundabout way is, I think there's certain gifts and certain abilities that people have, but in reality, anybody can learn to communicate with any other living being if they just take their time to listen.
Now let me ask you this, because in the chat room they were talking about Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, the dog whisperer, I mean, I love him because, I mean, he teaches me to work with energy with people, with my kids, with my family, it doesn't matter.
Right.
He is incredible. Now, I know that he's working with their energy. Do you do that also as far as training pets, and are you able to train them through energy? Or
Yeah, Caesar is obviously remarkable because he has taken exactly what you said. He's taken that, how to deal with their energy, how to communicate with them, as well as take his professional training experiences on how to become the alpha in the pack, which the human should be the alpha. So he's combined the two very nicely, and obviously he's had a great deal of success in helping people understand their animals better.
And
so what
kids.
I do, what, yeah, exactly, and their kids.
And their kids, because we are all one. And I can't,
exactly.
Even dealing with personal relationships, I mean, really, you know, when somebody's trying to get your goat or trying to take your power or what, and how to just cut that energy, go, and just cut it and say no more. And you're not going to take my energy and control your own energy. It's really amazing.
Well, it truly is, and when you think about it, you don't even when you're talking about having a confrontation with someone else, that someone's still in your mojo all the time,
we'll
call it, there are plenty of ways to be able to cut that without actually physically cutting yourself from that person, you know, without physically saying, I'm not going to deal with that person anymore, or I'm going to get angry with that person.
You tell us how to do that, because it's very interesting that you're bringing that up right now.
Well, here's how, you know, in my belief, here's how you have to do it. You have to be, first of all, in a good place in yourself. You have to be centered.
Yeah.
You have to feel good about where you at mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Powerful.
Where are you at? Yes.
Yeah.
And if you're in that good place, if you're in that place where you, no matter what people say, no matter what sticks and stones they throw at you, they bounce off. It doesn't bother you because you know you're here for a purpose. You know what your purpose is. You believe in your spirituality. You are comfortable with everything that's going on with you and around you. But these people that are attacking you all the time on a mental basis, they'll have no impact on you. And then when you do that, they're going to shut down.
Right.
You know, one of the perfect ways you can do this, if someone is like in your face, we'll say,
right.
Someone's in your face all the time, always still in your energy, always still in your mojo. and they're just yelling and screaming at you, or they're just saying bad things about you, all you simply have to do, take a deep breath, and you smile and say, thank you very much. I didn't realize that. I love you for saying that. Thank you so much.
That's
what are they going to say now?
They're going to say, Wayne Dyer talks about that, and you send them love, and you say blessings, and you say thank you. And you come from gratitude, and thank you, because there's no better way when somebody is attacking you, even a dog, not a dog attacking you physically, but, to deal with an energy that is not aligning with your energy, you send love, and you send blessings, and you say, have a blessed day. Have a great night.
Have a great night.
And you think to yourself, I love you. Even if you can't say, I love you, I forgive you, I'm sorry that you're hurting, or whatever. And a lot of times, that's just the same thing with our pets. If they're taking on all of our stuff for the entire day, and we come home and we're crabby and we kick our shoes off and we throw our purse and we're like, blah, 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 and our pets pick that up, and then all of a sudden we want to hug and kiss them, and they're like, hey, no. maybe they're laying on the couch. They do that with us, too.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the same thing with animals. I mean, you're absolutely right. So, when we talk about what Caesar does and what his abilities are to understand and get on the same energy level as the animal and then do his training capabilities, what I find out happens with me, especially when we talk about the Reiki aspect of it.
Yeah,
I combine
that.
Exactly. So I combine the two. So whenever I'm going to be around animals, whether I'm doing a healing session for the animals or communication or a combination thereof, I activate my Reiki, and I go into a situation, whether it's remotely or with the animal themselves in physical form, and you'd be amazed at how calm the animals are, how receptive they are to find out that, hey, this guy is making me feel good by this Reiki energy, but also he can talk to me, and he's not yelling at me or speaking to me in these weird tones. He's actually telepathically talking to me on the level that I talk. And so I've had situations. I had one a couple weeks ago, great example of this. I was doing an animal communication session over the phone. I was tuning in on one of the animals. It was one of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as I started the communication, I'd activated my Reiki, started the communication with the dog, got through the communication with the dog, and was telling its human companion what was going on with that dog. And she said, well, stop right there. She said that something amazing just happened. I'm like, oh, really? Well, what happened? She said, not only is my hyperactive dog laying here during this whole conversation calmly, but his counterpart, the other dog, who is also hyper, laid down here. The three cats have come into the room.
Wow.
They've all laid there. And there are horses in the field next to mine who are always romping around. They've all laid down side by side, and they've laid down, all of them, for the whole hour that you've been on the phone with me.
Wow. Now that is a huge testament to the power of Reiki, and that it can be long distance, and how powerful it is. You don't need to have exactly hands-on, because everyone says, well, Tim, I need to bring my dog to you. And it says, and you say, no, I can. The beautiful thing about this energy is that the long distance healing that can occur.
It can. It can happen remotely and or in person. So we can do either one. And, of course, when the conversation was over, when the Reiki energy was done, all the animals got up and left the room, and the horses went off into pasture, and everybody was happy.
Now, I was telling you earlier, I have a dog named Zen. And I tried doing, he's a little, and I think I sent you a picture of him. And he is a Rottweiler who I rescued, and I went to rescue him by doing, I went to do, my friend was volunteering at an animal shelter here, and I went to go do Reiki on the animals. And
right.
As I was there, and they were so receptive, this dog kept looking at me. And the last thing I wanted was a dog at this time, because my other dog, I had to put her to sleep, and I had her for almost 14 years. And I never knew such pain in my life as when I had to put her to sleep. And the whole way down putting her to sleep, which is something else I want to talk to you about, she was talking to me and telling me where she was going, and I'm crying and releasing, and we had this incredible conversation until the time she passed over. And then when she passed over, she was just so happy to be out of her body. So anyways, I went to go to do Reiki on these dogs, and I saw this dog, and he just kept looking at me, and he was so mellow, and he was so sweet, and he was so beautiful and so kind that I named him Zen. Well, a few months later, getting into it, he's just a crazy dog. And my house really isn't a crazy house. Honestly, it's very quiet and, you know, not really quiet, but it's quiet. I have two kids. We just do our thing. And I try to do Reiki on him, and he will not let me. And I ask, because with Reiki, you always want to ask permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask for his permission, and he never allows me to do Reiki on him. And I find that to be so interesting.
Right. So Zen, we had a beautiful, beautiful dog, gorgeous black dog, and I appreciate you so much rescuing him from a shelter. Obviously, being a president of our local humane society,
yeah.
It's a great blessing for us, and there's some wonderful animals out there. And I'll put a plug in for animals real quick before I get back to Zen.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, if you're looking for an animal, whether it be cat or dog or actually any animal, there's a lot of rescue groups that rescue birds and reptiles and other animals. Take a look out there. Go to your local shelter. Go to your local rescue group. See what they have. There's a lot of times purebreds there. People don't realize that.
Yeah, I have a purebred Rottweiler.
I know. And I've got two purebred schnauzers that we rescued from a rescue group. So they're beautiful animals. There's plenty
of
opportunities.
They are sweet.
So go there. Go to your local shelters. Go to your local rescue groups. Go on to petfinder.com.
Yeah, petfinder.com. I love that website. Thank you for saying that. And you know what? These pets, when we go to rescue them, are always so grateful. And you look in their eyes, and they're just so grateful, even if you just go visit them. I tell people, just go visit the, and it's hard sometimes to go to these shelters, but I used to awesome and just visit them, and they look at you, and they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. They're just so grateful for that. So I wanted to let my listeners real fast know, again, as always, there's been some kind of error, and I'm not able to take any kind of phone call-ins again, but they say the developers are being notified, and they're working on that. So hopefully they'll get back to that, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Messages from the Light with Lisa J. Smith on Sedona Talk Radio, and I am talking to Tim Link, an animal communicator and Reiki master, whose number one purpose of doing this work is for healing of all types of animals. And I can definitely see the chat, so if you'd like to ask any questions in the chat room, I still can do that, but unfortunately I'm not able to take calls. And for those already listening, if you'd like to contact Tim, you can contact him at... should I give your phone number? The 404. Do you want to give the number out?
Sure. You can contact me via phone at 404-422-6355.
Okay.
Or check out the website, which is wagging-tails.com. That's wagging-tails.com. And that gives you an idea of what I do and all my services, all my appearances coming up, and a little bit of background on me, and you'll see me and my two beautiful boys, Buzz and Woody.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you. Yes, I have a picture. Is that the picture I have of you? Yep, it sure
is.
I love that picture. You look like such a proud daddy.
They're great boys. They know how to make me proud. They're just wonderful, wonderful boys. And we got them once again at our local rescue shelter, so... two purebred schnauzers. So we're thrilled to death to have them in our family and glad they chose us.
Well, so they sure do choose us, don't they?
They do. And so we go back real quick and talk about, you know, animals are here for a purpose. And a lot of times, I've heard this a thousand times, people will go into their local shelter or go into their local pet store, whatever it may be, not even thinking about getting another animal. And lo and behold, you see those, as you said, those beautiful sad eyes sucker you in. And we think, oh, okay, we're here to help this animal. Reality is that, yeah, you're helping them get them into a forever home.
Right.
But in reality, they're there to help you.
Everybody tells me, you know what, Zen is here for you. And I'm thinking, he's not here for me because his energy is like all the time. And I can't even be in the same room with him. And I think, I do not know what it is you are here teaching me. And I try asking him, and he just will not talk with me. So it's real, and we don't have to get into the whole Zen thing, but just as an example, this it's good because even though, you know, you are a clairvoyant, clairaudience, sometimes our own pets don't want to talk to us, and they'd rather talk to a third party, which is great that now we can call you, and we can hire
you
talk with them.
Exactly. Well, you can definitely contact me, and I'll be more than glad to help out. And I think it's your own animals, they want to talk to you. Your own animals are like your own kids.
Right.
They have sort of like selective hearing.
Yes, they sure do.
Yeah.
This dog sure does.
Mm-hmm. There's certain things they know they can push the button a little bit, or maybe pretend they didn't hear mom say, don't eat the candy before dinner.
Yes, he's like a 2-year-old.
Exactly.
That's right.
Don't eat so many snacks. So, you know, I can go into a little bit about Zen if you want me to.
Well, you know what? I want to take a call, I can't get a call, but I'd like to do something from a chat room. I believe it's Millie, and she has a parrot who's almost 17 years old, and she wants to know, and I don't know, do you need a picture in order to tap into this, or are you able to do it over the phone this way?
Yeah, I'm able to do it over the phone as
well.
I always like to have the animal there or in picture because, you know, especially with the picture, we talk about you can look at the eyes and get the windows to the soul, so it helps that connection. But, yeah, let's talk about her parrot.
Okay, well, she says, Tim, I have a parrot. She's nearly 17 years old. Is she happy in her cage? And my other question is, I have two dogs on the other side and who just, I believe, crossed over. Oh, she says, let me get a picture. Well, I'm not going to be able to send it. But anyways, let's talk about our parrot. And if Millie's listening, can you type in what your parrot, do you need the parrot's name?
That's always helpful, sure.
Okay, so let me see if she can get, all right, she disappeared here in the chat room. Let's see if I can get her to type in what is her parrot's name. But in the meantime, Dolly. Thank you, Millie. Dolly the parrot, and she wants to know if she's happy in her cage.
So Dolly's telling me that she's happy in general. She's happy with the way the situation is, but she keeps telling me that she's getting out not as much. Is the word she keeps saying, getting out not as much. So I'm curious to find out if Millie, was the parrot used to getting out more often than the parrot is now? That would be my question, because she keeps saying getting out not as much.
So she wants to get out more. Maybe she's put
she
away.
She wants
we'll
to get out
see.
More, and I don't know if there's been a change in the household schedule or if she, in a previous cage or location, she used to be able to get out more. She liked that. She likes that. She liked that interface. She liked to have the freedom. She doesn't want to go flying off anywhere or patrolling walk around the house like I've seen some birds. She just wants, you know, to be out to see what's going on, which is kind of an odd statement she said, because you think that, you know, she's in a cage, she can see what's going on. But when she's out of that cage, she feels like she can actually see. And it's sort of like when we're in our house, we can look out our blinds to see what's going on outside, but it's not really being outside.
Well, Millie says you're absolutely right. She does keep her in her cage more because she tends to use her house as her bathroom. The Dolly uses her house, so she says she keeps her inside more, but she says, I will let her roam about more, and she says, thank you, Tim, because you were right on about that. And then she also wanted to ask you about her two dogs that crossed over, Binky and Baby.
Binky and Baby. Binky and Baby real quick, one other thing you can do is with the parrot, if you're worrying about them getting kind of messy in the house, amazingly enough, they have little diapers for parrots. And you can come to an agreement with her that if you let her out, she's not to have her issues around the house. And you can actually put these little diapers on them, amazingly enough.
Wow.
And so there's another opportunity for, you know, maybe not to get as much messy. But you can't talk to her and tell her, you know, if you let her out, it's like your little kid. If I let you do this, you do this for mommy. So it's the same thing. If I let you out of your cage more, then you have to go back to your cage to do your business.
Oh, my gosh. Well, she says, okay, I will do that. That is so funny. I never, who knew Pampers or diapers for parrots? But that is great. Parrots live to be a long, don't they live to be really old? So you could be having your parrot in diapers for a long time.
Exactly. Well, hey, I think I'm going to go create some more of those, actually. Maybe I can patent that one or something.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, somebody just said it depends for older parrots, too. So
exactly.
There you go. That
Lisa,
is so funny. Everyone is laughing.
You need to be calling Procter & Gamble and working out a sponsorship deal, I think, for that.
Yeah, or maybe you should for your animal. Any next time I have you on, absolutely, how funny is that? Well, you never know, or Purina, Purina is dogs, but I'm sure there's some kind of company for pets. So, anyways, that's so funny. Okay, now she wants to know, because people are now starting to chat in, which I'm so excited about, because I really want to involve our listeners. She wants to know, what did I say those now? I just lost a Binky and Baby?
Inky and Baby, yeah.
And they crossed over, and she wants to know if you're getting any information from her two dogs. Binky and Baby.
Now, they transitioned. I'm getting that they were small. I'm getting that they were small dogs. They keep showing small dogs. So I'm curious if they were small dogs when they transitioned, or the small dogs now they're back.
She says yes.
Small dogs when they transition. And she's been thinking about getting another dog, hasn't she?
She says small white, and there was also a Holly. Wow, she has a lot of pets on the other side. Millie, were you thinking about, it's interesting talking to her in cyberspace as she's chatting to me, but were you thinking about getting another dog also? And I feel like she's not sure if she could, because she doesn't know if Baby and Binky, if that would be okay. And I'm feeling like there, and she says yes, and what I'm getting, and I don't know if this is what you're getting, Tim, also, is that they would love for her to have another dog. The more the merrier.
Yeah. Not only would they love to have another dog, but they're back.
Yeah.
They're back. They're back on this plane. They have come into the body of two similar dogs.
How long does it take for a dog to come back, to reincarnate?
Right, exactly. Well, good point. It really varies widely. It depends on what did they fulfill their purpose while they were here? So they go through this regeneration process, so, you know, it takes a matter of days or weeks for their energy to get up to where it needs to be. And then they have to determine, did they complete their mission or their plan while they were here?
Right.
If yes, what is their next mission? And is their next mission to come back down in some sort of form and teach a new family something else? Or is it to be in that same collective energy and build that energy and stay, not transition back into a body?
Can they pick the same owner? Do they ever pick the same owner?
They can pick the same owner, especially if they have not completed that mission. If their life gets cut short, or they just die of old age before the person can't actually get to a place where they need to be, then they can come back in another form. And when we talk about Millie, I'm getting back that Binky and Baby are coming back into two. They come back into two small animals, the same family. So there's going to be two of them that you're going to find that are going to have a lot of mannerisms of Binky and Baby.
Wow.
I'm getting like a Shih Tzu or a Maltese or something of that sort, but they're going to be in the same area. They're going to be same family, and they want to come back to her because I don't think they finished their mission. They may. It seems like
they
had
like
a fairly
they
long
either.
Life, but yeah. Seems yeah, like they had a fairly long life, but it just still there's some things going on. And
yep, I feel the same thing exactly. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
well,
so go out there, and if you're thinking about it and you want that energy back in your life, there's two beautiful dogs out there waiting for you.
Absolutely. And the other thing is just kind of go with the flow and let it happen naturally, and don't try to force it, because then it will be easier for them to come to you without you trying to put a square in a round peg. And she'll know when it's right and when these animals feel right and it's the right home for them, because I don't want her to go and then just take anything. Just, oh, there's my Binky and my Baby. And then it's, you know, not that anything could ever be wrong or you could ever pick the wrong dog, because everything is in the right divine order. But just stay with your heart, and she'll be guided. Okay, Jen 642 Jen has a question about her cat who crossed over, and his name was Peyton.
And what does she want to know about Peyton?
All right, Jen 642, what do you want to know? Oh, yeah, look at Binky was a Maltese and Baby was a poodle. Look at you. All right, let's see if we can get... Yeah, look at you. You're pretty darn good there. 100%. That's not bad. Well, you know what? I'm not getting any. She's not answering back. So any information that you get,
I got some. To be honest with you, I got some pressure, some pain in my chest when we started talking about Peyton, connecting in with Peyton. So I'm real curious to find out if Peyton's life got cut short, or I just got some real. You know, some sharp pains in my chest, so I don't know if Peyton is showing me that that Peyton had some issues before transitioning, or if Peyton's life was cut short.
Do pets often pick up what their owners are feeling? So, say Jen had pains in her chest, would he be able to tell you what his owner was feeling? And she says, yes, that's how he died. He had heart failure at a very young age. So she just validated that for you.
Oh, boy. I think I'm giving myself chills.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good thing. She says, thank you so much. But, yes, that's how he died. And she just wants to make sure that what he's up to and if he's doing okay. And I feel like he's playing with his little catnip, or he's playing in heaven. And he's laughing and he's saying, not all dogs go to heaven. He says cats go to heaven too. And I feel like he has a very funny, great sense of humor as well. So I feel like he's very happy, and he was very young at heart. And it's interesting that he had heart pains, and he's talking about being young at heart.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I think that's purpose. Now, that's surprising. I figured a cat would say, we go to heaven also, but we've got a special place that dogs can't come, is what I thought.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, it's the same thing. And look at what she just says. I've been having heart issues as well, so I wonder if he's trying to tell me something by his death. And what are you getting?
Yeah, get it checked out. Get it, what I would tell you, Jen, is if you're not under a medical care right now for it, or you're thinking about a second opinion on it, get it checked out. Because obviously, Lisa, as your question was, do they pick up on us? Do they pick up on what our pains and our sufferings are? And they absolutely do.
Yeah.
It seems like Peyton's been trying to tell you for quite some time that there's issues there, and just take care of yourself. He's still, he wants you to know he's okay. He's worried about you.
Right, exactly, and to mend a broken heart. And now Eric 2012, and I think I know who Eric is. Hi, Eric. If this is Eric, say, give me a little shout-out. But he wants to know, do pets ever get trapped in spirit from here on Earth as some human souls do? In other words, I guess what he's saying is, do they have a hard time crossing over?
Well, my thought pattern, my philosophy is, that all living beings are created of energy, and you've heard me speak about it during the show tonight. And I think in my personal opinion, there's not a separate place between Earth and heaven, and these places called heaven and hell.
Right.
My philosophy and my belief system is that, we're all here in our human bodies here on Earth. When our time is to go, our energy to leave that body, it goes into energy. And heaven is actually here on Earth. We create our own heaven while we're here.
Exactly.
So getting trapped and not going over, I don't really believe that in animals or people, that we're stuck in this sort of way station to determine if we're worthy to go to heaven or we're confused about what's going on. But when we talk about the regeneration process, and earlier talked about how long is that process, well, it will take longer if your energy is not up to where it needs to be.
Right.
It will take longer if you feel that you haven't fulfilled what you need to fulfill here, and you can't let that go. It'll take you longer in that regeneration process. And it's sort of like humans. Whenever, there's a relationship issue, if you feel you've done everything you can in that relationship and you've had a great relationship with someone else, then you're going to feel good about that and the energy is going to flow positively. If you're living in the past and you have a lot of regrets and you have a lot of issues with past relationships and you're holding on to that, then you can't let go and your energy thus can't get to the point where it needs to be, whether you're talking about transitioning or where you're talking about where you need to be in your purpose in life.
You know what? I couldn't have said that better myself. I could not say that better myself. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you one more thing because it's amazing how fast time goes. But I wanted to ask you about some of our pets and how helpful it is to talking with you or animal communicators to really get on the same page as our animals to know why they are here. You know, are they protectors? Are they healers? Because so often when we know that our dog is a protector and or is a healer or wants to protect us because they love and not protect us necessarily from physical harm, but maybe just they look out for our best interest when we can't look out for our own. And I just think it's so important to be able to get on the same page as our animals. And I think what you do is so important, not only to prove and necessarily to give readings and messages from animals to their humans, which is very important, but I think it's just so important that why they're here and we can work, learn to work together as a team and really come together to not only bond, but to really grow together our spirits. Because, again, as we said earlier, when one grows, we all grow. And since we are all one, when we can help our animals, we can also help ourselves and vice versa. And I think it's really important.
I do too, Lisa. That's brilliant how you put that all together, because it's absolutely true. I mean, we are all one. We're all here for a purpose. Our animals choose us and enter into our lives and become very important parts of our lives, and thus they should be.
Right.
They're here for a purpose. Now, animals, when they come into our homes, their forever homes, as we call it, they have a purpose, and they also, it's important for them to have a job. And it's important to distinguish between the two, because their purpose is, what's their life purpose? What are they put here for? And it could be to help you and your family through a situation. It could be help you and your family find love or to grow or whatever it may be. But they'll also have a job, and it's important
right.
for you as the human companion to identify what that job is. And you don't necessarily get to choose what that job is. If you want them to be the protector of the household, they're actually here to teach you love, and their job is, you know, to provide love, then, you know, you got to come to some sort of compromise. So the animal also, your pet will also let you know what their job is. And so, you know, a great example is, you know, our schnauzers came into our life to help me get to a point where I can do this, where I'm
yeah,
not
absolutely.
Hiding the fact that I'm, you know, I have these gifts and the abilities. And that's one of the many purposes they came into our lives.
And not only for you to have this gift, but for you to be able to give your gift to the world. And they weren't only a great gift to you and your family, but they were also a great gift to all of us, to the world. Because by you doing your work, you're really being of service, not just to the animals, but to everybody here. And I just like to say thank you so much for doing the work that you do and really loving these animals that don't have a voice, but yet have so much to say.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. And
it's
a pleasure.
Yes. Well, you know, we only have a couple minutes left. And if there, you have about 30 seconds, what is one thing you would love to say? And that's very hard, I'm putting you on the spot. But what is one thing you would like to say to all of our listeners about their pets?
Right. I think the most important thing is for you to realize that your pet is there for you and for a purpose. And it's okay to communicate with your pet, whether it's verbally or through love or through telepathic capabilities, whatever it may be. But try everything you can for you to understand what your animal's there for, and thus in return you're going to have a much better relationship with your pet, and it will also help you get to a place where you ultimately need to be. So don't be afraid to communicate.
Well, thank you so much. It really means a lot to me, and I'm hosting another radio show, and I'll let all of our listeners know next week where they can hear that, and I'd love for you to come back and be a guest, because I could talk to you for another hour or two about animal communication, because I still have a bunch of questions that I wanted to get to that I wasn't able to get to, and I know our listeners who are calling in have more questions, but there's only so much you can do in an hour, unfortunately. So anyways, I wanted to thank you so much for being here, Tim. Tim Link of WaggingTales.com, and do you want to give your phone number one more time where people can reach you?
Yeah, two ways to reach me. Call me at 404-422-6355, and I would suggest going to the website wagging-tales.com, WAGGING-TALES. And you can learn all about how I got into all this and how I can help you out. And Lisa, it's been extremely It's been an extreme pleasure to be on your show tonight and to talk to all your listeners. I would love to come on your new show and be part of everything that you do, because I know the brilliant work that you do in helping people out. So,
well, thank you.
Count me in.
A lot. All right. Well, tonight's show has been sponsored again by SureSpeak, a new way of improving your communication skills using your webcam. Try it free online today at www.surespeak.com. If you'd like to reach me, you can go to my website, www.forthesoulfromthesoul.com, and that's spelled F-O-R. That wraps up tonight's show with Tim Link, and it's been such a pleasure. I'd like to thank each one of you for listening and trying to call in again, but we did have you in the web chat rooms. And as Spirit tells me, what is meant for one is meant for all.
Love so, Talk Radio.
That's it. Tim?
Yes.
Okay, and I'll get back with you in a moment. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.